Boy, I could almost preach on that song. Well, we'll get to that next week. We've been spending a lot of time. I'll tell you later. We've been spending a lot of times in John 6, but we'll continue that next week. But I feel like the Lord gave me some words this week about what I'm about to reveal to you. The wisdom of children can be amazing at times. You ever listen to a child try to give wisdom? Here are some things that some children have said in their own wisdom. A 10-year-old boy said this: never trust a dog to watch your food. Another 10-year-old boy said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. A 9-year-old girl said, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. Another 9-year-old girl said, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. An 8-year-old girl said, never try to baptize a cat. A 12-year-old boy said, don't sneeze in front of your mom when you're eating a cracker. I love these last two. It's by the same boy. A 14-year-old boy said, never tell your mom that her diet's not working. And then he said, when your dad says to you, or is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. In our scripture readings today, there is that one word that resonates throughout our readings, is the word wisdom and how we walk in wisdom. Paul tells us to look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Sometimes we get up, we've said our prayers, we get ready to go to do whatever we're going to do for that day, and we march out, and bam, something hits you that you didn't want or was unexpected. We might be faced with a crisis that we didn't expect. We might have gotten a doctor's report that we didn't like. We might have gotten laid off at work. Or you just need some clarity in your life of what you're going through. Whatever life happens, it wasn't what was expected at that time. Could whatever it was be avoided? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes illness are brought on by abuses that we put on our bodies. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes our work ethic might cause a decision in our career. Sometimes it is not. If we examine ourselves, some of the issues in life that we might cause, sometimes they are not. But no matter what goes on in our life, no matter what we face around the corner, no matter what someone might say to you today, tomorrow, or the next day, we have a choice in how we will handle that situation. Here's what Paul said: walk not as unwise, but walk as wise. Wisdom is defined as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Now, I want to clarify something. There is a thing called common sense that God gives us all to get through life. All of us are created with a certain amount of common sense. I saw some lack of common sense images the other day, someone trying to dry a wet cell phone in a microwave oven. That's not too wise. Signs that read, if door doesn't open, do not enter. Or wordings on a coffee cup, and we've all seen this one through the big McDonald's lawsuit: caution, coffee is hot. And one sign in a pool read, do not breathe underwater. You know, common sense. We might all call all of that conventional wisdom. But what is beyond conventional wisdom is the everyday, everybody's walk in life. That is where God longs and desires for us to seek His wisdom, His direction in our lives. I know I need that a lot on a daily basis. We all should. I can't tell you how many times the nudging of God's Spirit has led me to deal with situations in life when I actively seek His wisdom. And sometimes when I don't seek it or don't listen, I get into trouble. Paul goes on to say, make the best of your time because the days are of evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We talked about that a little bit last week. You see, this is a summation of what Paul had just finished teaching in chapters 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 that we're in now in Ephesians. And I encourage you to read it. But in summation, he talks about all the stuff that entices us away from God. He talks about not living as infants tossed back and forth by the wind, being swayed by bad teaching instead of the truth of the gospel that Jesus taught. Truth brings life. Truth brings wisdom, wisdom that only God can give us. He talks about the body of Christ being one with Christ, being the head. And when the body supports one another, that brings wisdom. He talks about living as children of light. When Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit illumines our soul. We talked about this yesterday, or the day before yesterday, at the men's group that I'm involved in, and how what light means and what the absence of light means in our lives. When the light of Christ shines through on a situation and in our daily walk, the things of darkness are exposed. We can see it for what it is. Paul goes on to say that we put off the old self and put on the new self. And he gets even more specific. He discusses unwholesome talk, grieving the Holy Spirit by hanging on sin, sexual immorality and greed and on and on. You see, we no longer live in that unless we choose to hold on to that in our lives. The world, that is the culture around us, calls us to walk a certain way. The wisdom of God calls us to walk in His way. We will always be faced with a culture around us. We will always be faced with a choice. Even if we try to isolate ourselves from the world, we are still humans and we are born with a sinful nature. We will be dealing with a human condition to do good or to do evil. Again, Jesus called us to be a light in the world, not to walk in darkness. As I was thinking about this, I remembered my experience of entering into seminary. I shared this with a few privately and some in smaller groups, but I don't think I've ever shared this in a sermon. At least I don't think. I was 18 years out of college, working at Lockheed Martin, and everything had worked out perfectly for the path that God, I thought, was leading me into to go into seminary. I had acquired a voluntary layoff from Lockheed Martin, which allowed me to get 6 months of severance pay as I left. And after a year-long process of discernment and psychological exams and all that you go through to enter into seminary, I was cleared to go. Some people might say, you passed the psychological exam? Yes, I did. And then I went to an orientation week a few weeks before we were to move up to Pittsburgh, where I went to seminary, and I got a round-trip ticket to Pittsburgh because back then round-trip tickets on a plane was cheaper. And so I drove one car up to leave it there so I could fly back, get the other car in the U-Haul van, and we could drive up. And I went to orientation, and I was listening to all these professors from Ivy League schools and prestigious schools around the country. And I absolutely bombed when I, one day, was at lunch with everybody standing there, professors and everybody, anybody want to give their testimony? I'll give my testimony. So I stood up to give my testimony, and I bombed. I froze, sweat dripping from my head, and I just didn't know what to do. So I sat down in silence. On my flight back, the pressure was just too great. I got home, and I told Debbie, I can't do this. This is just too much. 18 years, these guys with degrees up to here, but I got to tell you, these guys and ladies who were my professors were wonderful, invited you into their office, sat you down, shared the love of the Lord. They didn't hold their education over you. They were wonderful, side note. But a lady in our church, when I got back, and this got word to one of our friends, a lady in our church, a spiritual mother to Debbie and a third grandmother of sorts to our children, and had Debbie and I come over to pray. The very instant that we sat down at her kitchen table, a clap of lightning struck and the lights went dark. And it was in the evening, so it was pitch black in the dark. And so we said, well, what do we do? So we decided we're going to go ahead and start praying. The minute we started praying, the lights came back on. What a object lesson for knowing that I was watching in the dark of what was going on in my life at that moment, instead of looking at the light of Christ guiding me through this. You see, I was letting the pressures of the world around me to build up this fear and the call that God had on my life. Yes, I had the freedom to choose. I could have gone back to Lockheed Martin. I could have done a lot of things. But what I needed at that moment was to listen to the wisdom of that only God could provide and bring into my heart. Through prayer and counsel of others who were seeking and listening as well. Life is like that sometimes. We need to seek the wisdom of God. We need to seek His counsel. He has given us His Spirit. He has given us others who have been there. And He wants to guide us through where He has us right now. He wants to heal us inside and out. He wants us to be restored into His likeness, to do His bidding, to hear His voice through His Word, through His Spirit, and through others. God wants you to be cleansed of the dirt of the world and washed in His blood. He has done that for you. Our reading from Proverbs tells us that wisdom has an open invitation and welcomes us to the feast of repentance, of which only Jesus Christ, of course, has provided. That is a direct correlation to what Jesus has done for us. It is also a direct invitation to walk in His wisdom. Paul reminds us not to be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but to be filled with the Spirit. Debauchery simply means indulgence in sensual pleasures. It encompasses a lot of things. We like to think of it as just drunkenness, but we can become drunk with a lot of things in life that can pollute us. But when we allow the very Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us, we can encounter the very wisdom of God in our lives. We can know His way. We can walk in His light. And I encourage you today, seek after God with all of your heart. Encounter His wisdom. Walk in His ways. And if you struggle in an area of your life, seek out the counsel of others who can pray for you and walk you through this. The body of Christ is a body for a reason. To grow and support one another in this walk that He has given us. He has called all of us to this place for a reason. I want to ask you, do you lack wisdom? Allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill you with His wisdom. Rich and Veronica Cooper put on a sign out front, "Pray for wisdom. Jesus will guide you." That is so true. They came and asked me earlier in the week, does this work? I said, boy, does it work. You know, that's perfect. Seek Him out. Allow Him to fill you with His presence in your life. He wants to give you His wisdom. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You do want to fill us with Your wisdom as we walk out this life that You have given us in the direction that You have given each of us. No matter what it is and where it is, Lord God, if You called us there, You are walking us through it and You want us to get through it, Lord. And we know that in that walk, we need Your wisdom. So, Father, we ask that You would fill us with that. Each person here, just anoint them with Your Spirit, Lord God, and fill them with Your presence and give them the wisdom that they need to get through the situations that they face on a daily basis. just as you've done it throughout the ages, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that give us a heart that is open. Give us ears that are open. Allow us to overcome the things in the world that would try to block us and to try to bring darkness into those areas, that you will bring light, Lord God. So we thank you and give you praise and honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.